Morning, Crossways. It's a privilege to be here once again. You guys have become very special to us. Yeah. We look forward to every opportunity that we have to come visit you guys. Yeah. So it's really special times for us as well. So before we start, Tim, I believe that word that you brought this morning about the boat going out and circling before it goes out, I think it was for you as well, my friend. And the word that came to mind was deep calls to deep. When you get into, I used to enjoy body surfing, and the rougher the water was, the better. But to get a good wave, you've got to get through those breakers first sometime. And once you get past them, the water's a lot calmer. Yeah? So I feel God is calling you to deeper times with Him. And He wants to show you and make you experience things that you've never experienced before. But it takes sacrifice. Deep calls are deep. You've got to put in the time and the effort. It's not easy getting through those breakers. When they bash against you at times, you feel, you know what, this is too much effort. But God is saying, listen, you know, hang in there. Carry on. You're going to get there. Jonathan, Captain America. The incredible thing about Captain America is his shield that protects him. And I believe God has given you a shield, and when the word speaks about shield, it's a shield of faith. And the picture I had of you was actually you got this shield, but you had it hanging behind you. And God says, no, that's not a place that your shield should be. He's given you faith. Take that shield from your back, put it in your arm, and walk with it. Use the tools that He's given you. You are a man of faith. Do not doubt that God is with you. Use your shield of faith. He's given it to you for a purpose. This gentleman here, your name? Pete. Have you ever read Asterix? Not. Okay. You don't see him around the comic strip anymore, but Asterix had an incredible pair of shoes. When you put them on, they had wings on. And you could fly places, basically, with these shoes. And when the Bible talks about feet and shoes normally, it is about taking the gospel to places. And I believe God is saying He's going to give you a special pair of shoes that you're going to be able to take a gospel to places where other men were not able to go, y'all. So I don't know if it's for now, I don't know if it's for the future, but I see you with those special shoes on that have got wings and we're able to take you to places beyond what other people can imagine, y'all. During our prayer time, God gave me a picture as well. There's no specific person, so I believe there might be a few people here that find themselves in that position. So find encouragement in it. And the picture I had was with a person walking a tightrope. Now, you will never find me in that position. I'm too scared of heights. I mean, the minute I come to these high places, my stomach turns and I almost freeze. And the picture I had of this person walking halfway on that line and suddenly fear came into their heart and they froze. And you know when you're scared, the knees start wobbling. But the incredible picture I had was of Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming next to us. Take my hand this side. Jesus one side, the Holy Spirit the other side. And Father God Himself standing at the end said, come, my child. And the minute you take the hands of the Holy Spirit and Jesus and focus on God, the fear went away and you were able to walk across that line. And I think the message is, if you find yourself in a situation this morning where you are walking a tightrope and your knees are wobbly, you are afraid of falling off, find your strength and your encouragement, find your stability in God, because He is the only one that will be able to lead you across that tightrope. As a church, we've been going through the book of John, and John is a book of belief. If you find yourself in a situation that I spoke about this morning, I encourage you, read the book of John. Your faith will be built. Download the messages if you haven't listened to all the messages on the website. I believe God is bringing His people to a place where we cannot walk in doubt anymore. We're either for Him or we're not with Him. God says, the word speaks very clearly about people that are lukewarm. There is no space for offense, people sitting on the boundary anymore. We've got to throw our everything into what God has called us to do. I believe we are in a place where the church has got to rise up. Systems and things around us are crumbling at the moment. The world is coming apart. And we have the hope that the people need. But we need to be sure of that hope first. We need to settle in our hearts first in order to take it to a people that need that hope. So I encourage you as a body, spend time with God. When you go through situations, through circumstances, allow God to build your faith. The message I'm sharing this morning is of the death of Lazarus. And in this section, Jesus makes one of the I am statements in verse 25, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And it is such an incredible statement, because a resurrection speaks about something that is dead. When something is dead, we, most of us, we've all experienced death. If not of a loved one, of an animal, something. When that thing is dead, it's dead. But yet Jesus being so, that something that is dead is brought back to life. And the focus is on the life. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 11, please. I'm going to read a bit of a portion of Scripture this morning, but I think it is very important. We must never be scared in the body of Christ to read Scripture. I'm reading from verse 1. So now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. When I read this, I always battle a bit with this. Because normally when you hear somebody is sick, your heart is to go and see the person, to go and spend time with the person. Yet Jesus paused and he waited. But the scripture before was very clear. This happened so that God can be glorified, so that people can experience and see the power of God. I'm going to skip the rest. I'm going to carry on verse 14. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. We read that Lazarus didn't make it. He actually passed away. And once even the word came to Jesus, he set off to go and see the family. Bethany was less than 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort him in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not you open the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. An absolutely amazing story. Up to this point of John's Gospel, Jesus presented himself as a giver of life to various people. To Nicodemus, he offered eternal life. To the Samaritan woman, the water of life. To the official son, the layman, the restoring of life. To the hungry multitude, the bread of life. The believers in Jerusalem, the river of living water. To the blind man, the light of life. To the sheep who followed him, the abundant life. The whole book speaks about life. Up to this point, now Jesus came with the ultimate expression, saying that he is the life after death, the resurrection and the life. It speaks about something beyond what we as humans experience. It speaks of a time we all know we have to face death. It is a natural road that we all have to walk. None of us are absolved from it. Up to this point, Lazarus was not the first man that Jesus raised from the dead. It was not the first person that was raised from the dead. But this was a significant turning point. Because at this moment, it pointed to him as being the one that's going to be resurrected from the dead. It was also a turning point in the sense that after this, the Jews actively started forming a plot to actually crucify and kill Jesus. It's a very sad story because the story is raw with emotion. I mean, we all experienced somebody that passed away, and last year was a very tough year for us. We've seen friends pass away, we've seen our mother-in-law pass away, and those feelings are raw. It rocks you to the bottom. It's at times when we face those things that we don't have answers. As a believer, there's only one thing that we can hold on, and that is the glory of God, that we know that those that have passed on are with Jesus. We also see Jesus, we see the heart of God, we see the heart of Jesus, that when verse 4 says that Jesus wept, he feels our emotions, he can relate to us. And in Greek, I mean, up to this point, a lot of people saw God as this distant God, this holy God, it's almost like somebody standing with a shambok ready to discipline them. But Jesus showed you the true heart of God, that he understands our emotions, he understands the tough times that we go through. We can relate to him. We all face trials every day. I said it before, even if you don't face trials, you are going to face trials. And I believe we are in a time where things are getting tighter, things are becoming tougher. We heard Tim saying this morning, things that we hold on and we think is absolute, tomorrow can dissolve quickly before our eyes. You can have a job today, tomorrow you can go into the office and say, sorry, business is closing down. And that's the reality of life in South Africa at the moment. We are not guaranteed of anything anymore. It is not a comfortable position to be in. Nobody likes to be in that position. I've been in a position before where I've lost my job 3 years without work. And I shared with somebody earlier this week, and we're facing a situation now. I'm being vulnerable here, that I don't know if I've got a job at the end of this month. But I've walked this road before, and I've shared to somebody, you know what? That time, those 3 years that I sat without work, I've experienced the favor of God, I've experienced the goodness of God, I've experienced the provision of God like no other time before in my life. And at the end of a month, I don't have a job. I say, thank you, Lord, because now it's an opportunity for you to show your goodness again. It's an opportunity for me to experience you again. Because you know what the reality of life is? When we have all our securities, we start to rely too much upon those things. But when those things are stripped away, there's only one thing. There's only one thing that we can rely on, and that's upon God. And when we do that, we experience Him like never before. Romans 5, verse 3 says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because you know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 9 says this, praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection, Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who from faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little time you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even through refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And then we all know this scripture, James 1 verses 2 to 4 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Resurrection and life is the theme of this chapter, but the other theme that comes through as well is that of belief. We have to put our trust in God. We have to have our faith in God. That is the only thing that will keep us strong. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome this world. When Jesus was resurrected, he put a nail in the coffin of death. Because of that, because of his resurrection, we have the hope and glory of being reunited with him. And that means that no matter what we face, we know our destiny. And that should make us rejoice, just that by itself. People that don't have Christ, I've seen people crumble when calamity comes, when trials come. If they don't have God, the wheels come off, they've got no hope. I've said it before, when I was in the rehab, I saw a person's eyes that had no hope. You don't want to be in that place. I've seen a person die because of no hope. Find your hope in Christ. Sometimes we think when we're in that situation and God is not with us, that He's not hearing our prayers, that He's not answering us. The Word says He will meet all our needs according to His perfect will and purpose. Sometimes we pray and our circumstances just seem to get worse. Oh Lord, I'm praying, but hey, it's not coming right. Get back to these scriptures. When you are facing that time, know that God is doing a work in you. Strengthen those feeble knees. We are tempted to doubt and despair. Don't do that. Glorify God in the storm. Do not grumble. The Israelites grumbled in the desert, and that prevented them from walking into the Holy Land, into the inheritance. When you grumble, it is a sign of unbelief. God cannot bless those that are not walking in faith. Oh, I don't think this is going to work. Where's God? Don't find yourself in that place. It's our trials and our tribulations that, when we walk through it, that brings glory to God. Jesus said to his disciples, Lazarus had to die so that your faith can be built up. How do our trials glorify God? They develop our Christian character as we exercise patience, and they provide an example of strength, courage, and dependence on God to unbelievers. The world is watching you very closely. When you go for trials and tribulations, what testimony are you giving to the world? Is it one of despair, or is it one of hope? How many of you had people coming to you, when the wheels come off, they come to you? Please pray for me, because they've seen something in you that they are needing in their own lives. They wean us from life's attractions, diversions, and illusions as we focus on God for help. They reveal the flimsy grip we have on health and prosperity in this life, and we realize that we must trust in God for our security. They intensify our desire to be with God in eternity. We will receive new bodies and be reunited with loved ones who have gone before us. Our trials also provide opportunities to portray how God's timing expresses His love to us. Many Christians who have faced calamity testified later of how God came through just at the perfect time, even if it seems impossible. Remember that Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead. You've been there for 4 days, people. You've ever been to the Middle East? It's pretty much like our African weather. It is hot there. By that time, the moth said, that body has been there for 4 days. You can't open. It's starting to rot already. If you're in a place you feel like you're rotten in your sin, you've got despair, you haven't got victory over it. Lazarus has been there for 4 days. It is not the end of the road for you. God is calling you. Say, listen, come forth. Come out of that place that you are. I've called you for something better. I am the resurrection and the life. I've called you for a life that is abundant. You're struggling with sin this morning. Today is the day to deal with it. Get rid of sin. And the way you do it is by submitting yourself to Jesus. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Jesus called Lazarus. Augustine said this. He said, Jesus had to call out Lazarus by name, for if He had not done that, all the dead would have come out of their graves. Imagine if that had happened. That's why I said, Lazarus, come forth. I think this morning Jesus is saying, come forth. He's calling all of us, those that are dead in their sin, those that are dead in their faith. He's calling each one of you by name. He says, come forth. Be resurrected. I've got life for you. I've got life abundantly. Do not be held back anymore. Today is the day of salvation. Today is your time for victory. Today is to stand up and say, my God lives. My Jesus has come through for me. How do we do this? Whoever believes in me, as our first step, we've got to come to Jesus. Lay everything that you have at His feet. All the doubts, all the fears, all the sin. Jesus, help me. All you have to say. And He will meet you right there. Then we need to wait upon the Lord. Waiting is not easy. We live in a world that is very fast-paced. I remember the days where if you wanted to hear somebody, you pick up the phone or you write a letter, that letter gets received a week, 2 weeks later. South African Post Office maybe a month later. Then you'll respond again. We live in a world where instant, you get to receive an email, you answer straight away. So we've become accustomed to things happening immediately. God works in a completely different economy. Sometimes we just got to wait. Waiting in Scripture is always a proactive thing. It is not a passive thing. If you speak to people today, they say, you ask him, how are you doing, brother? Oh, I'm just waiting upon the Lord. Some Christians wait for 40, 50 years, passively, and you don't see any changes in their lives. When the Bible speaks about waiting upon the Lord, it is a proactive thing. There are actions involved. So how do you wait upon the Lord? The root word for wait in the Bible is a word called kawah. It's K-A-W-V-A-H. It means to bind together or to pierce in. As ropes are intertwined or as ropes are bind together, that is what the Scripture says. When you wait upon the Lord, it's talking about an action. You've got to bind yourself to the Lord. You've got to grab onto the hold onto the Lord. The other one is pierce into the Lord. When you pierce something, when you take a sword, you pierce something, it's got a sharp point. It is focus. It is intentional. That is how you wait upon the Lord. We all know the story of Jacob wrestling with God. Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. He was holding on to God. He was piercing into God. He was binding himself into God. That is how you wait upon the Lord. And when you do that, God will answer you. Isaiah 40 from verse 25 says, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all this? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? You can put your names in there. My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow weary, tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, this word hope is the same root word. Those that wait upon the Lord. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We've all seen a message interweave this morning through worship, the words that are brought. And when I prepared this message, I said, Lord, but you know, resurrection and life. How do you bring it to people? And I believe God is speaking clearly to his people. He is a resurrection and a life. That situation of death and despair that you are facing, that uncomfortable feeling that you are, of just living, that you are experiencing, it's going to come to an end. This world is going to come to an end. He can bring life into that. He will breathe wind into your sails again. We are called to rise above our circumstances, people. We are not called to be walking in the dirt. The worst is he's taken us from the miry clay. He has set my feet upon the rock. If the winds and the storms come, my feet is built on the assurance that I have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've got to remind ourselves of those things. We are called to bring hope into this world. Jesus has conquered the death and is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for each one of us. We place him there, but he's also with us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is omnipresent. Yes, he's at the right hand of God, but he's very much here at this moment as well. Saying, take my hand. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will not let your foot stumble. I want to read when Jesus was resurrected. You can turn to your Bibles and to John 20, please. I'm reading from verse 11 to 18. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Thinking he was a gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out, in the name of Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father to my God. Sorry, let me read it again. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples of the news, I have seen the Lord, and she told him that he had said these things to her. What a beautiful story. Can you imagine the exuberant joy at that moment when she realized that Jesus had risen from the dead? And that is the same hope that we have. That is the strength that we have. He is no longer in a tomb. He has risen. The tomb is empty. Mary did not meet the risen Christ until she had discovered the empty tomb. We cannot experience a risen Christ until we too experience that empty tomb. Until we realize he is no longer dead. He is resurrected. That is the foundation of our faith. That is the foundation of our beliefs. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't have a Christian faith. You have to settle that in your heart. You have to believe that. Ask God, Lord, let me experience that empty tomb. Let me see your resurrection. Let me see your resurrected life in the situation that I currently am facing. Once you experience that and you have a testimony, you can say, the grave is empty. Death has got no hold. Death has got no sting. That is where God wants his people to be. I believe there are people facing difficult circumstances. You're walking on a tightrope. And I believe God is wanting to minister to people this morning. If you are struggling with sin, don't be ashamed. We are all human. We all struggle. We all fall. Any one of us are tempted. I've walked a life. I was a believer. I was in Christian leadership and I fell to sin. I had to step down from leadership. I had to be corrected. I had to be disciplined. But you know what? I submitted myself to that. And the word says, Lord, against you only have I sinned. When you humble yourself before God and you confess your sin, God brings victory, he brings freedom, and he gives you strength beyond that you ever thought or capable. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of resurrection. If you struggle with sin, come, let us pray for you. If you struggle with just your circumstances at the moment and you are in despair, come, let us pray for you. If you don't have the answers, come, let us pray for you this morning. God wants to set you free. God wants to show to you this morning that your tomb is empty. He has been resurrected. He is alive. Amen. Can I just pray for us before you guys come forward? Oh Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are the resurrection and the life. We thank you, Jesus, that in you we find our hope alone, Lord. No matter the circumstances, Lord, you are our foundation this morning, Lord. Yet we walk through the valley of shadow of death, Lord. You will never leave us, you'll never forsake us, Lord. Father, I pray for your people this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen their faith, Lord, that they would take their shields up and say, Lord, you know what, I thank you, despite of my circumstances, I thank you, Lord, that you are victorious, that I can glorify you, and I thank you, Lord, that you are my rock this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that people this morning will settle that in their hearts, Lord, that you are alive, that you have risen, that the tomb is empty, Lord. And Lord, that you want to build people's faith this morning, Lord. That you want to set people free this morning, Lord. That you want to give them hope, Lord, where there seems to be no hope, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that only you are able to do those things, Lord. Meet your people this morning where they are at, Lord. I thank you, Lord, as we wait upon you, Lord, as we bind ourselves to you, Lord, as we pierce into you, Lord, that you will meet us, Lord. Your word says, Lord, when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. I thank you for that this morning, Lord. Speak to us more this morning, Lord. Set people free this morning, Lord, so that your name can be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Please come up for prayer. God wants to do something this morning. Do not walk away from here. Come up if you need prayer. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Keith. And thanks so much for everyone being here, and please join us for some tea or coffee or hot chocolate outside, and please just take heart that invitation for prayer. And just a closing thought, before the service, Tony was praying that we'd maybe become a little bit more outwardly focused in our lives, and just sharing a message, and we've all just had a chance to be strengthened. It's just a reminder that as we go out from here and in the world, that you might be the only glimpse of Christ that someone sees in the next week, you know. So just remember that, and the responsibility maybe that comes with that of the outward.